Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Our regular Tuesday show, CharliePierce, Esquire.com. Yep. Also, comedian Dean Abadala, he wrote a great piece at CNN about why we should forgive Paula Deen. Interesting stuff.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
We will debate that. Jim's ass is on fire or something. Something.
Not sure he wanted that to be public knowledge.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He's out. He's out sick today. We'll just say sick.
He's sick. His ass is sick.
Right. And we wish it well. We wish it a speedy recovery.
Yes, we do.
And he will be back tomorrow, hopefully. All right. Jumping into the fray. Her ass is fine.
Yeah. She has a fine ass.
Hello, world. It's the news that she's bringing. Come on, get Jackie.
And your head as well. We meant to say your brains.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how to react to that.
Good morning.
I'm flattered and yet mortified all at the same time.
Exactly. Welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show. Now, Jackie, I mentioned to you at the top of the hour, there is a new study out. We clearly are going to the wrong spinning classes. A new study confirming women orgasm during exercise. The most common exercises associated with exercise-induced orgasm were abdominal exercises, climbing poles or ropes.
Duh.
Well.
Is there a class for that?
Yeah, is that a euphemism, or are they talking about actual
poles?
Stephanie hasn't climbed a pole in years.
I have not. This is what I'm doing wrong. Biking / spinning and weightlifting. I don't know.
What?
Let me break down.
Weightlifting?
I'm surprised you're even here.
Is this just women?
I'm surprised you haven't expired from orgasm. While abdominal exercises, Jackie, frequently triggered, EIO, it's a thing, exercise-induced orgasm.
Oh.
Hello,
that was an old McDonald refrain.
Yeah.
At the rate of, 51.4%. Others reported having an orgasm when weightlifting, 26.5%. Doing yoga, 20%. Well, yoga is inherently slutty.
So instead of saying I don't want to have sex with a guy, I just have to say I'm going to the gym?
Right.
Instead of I have a headache, I'm going to the gym?
Bicycling, 5.8%. Running, 13.2%. Walking, hiking, 9.6%. You are talented if you can have one walking, in my personal opinion. What's that? What's wrong is that if you have to pick up a poo from giant dogs, that tends to, dim your romantic prospects with yourself.
What if you walk like Chris Christie?
What, your thighs rubbing together?
Yeah, right.
What kind of orgasm do you have then?
And if he wears corduroy, probably like spark and smokes and flame.
He spontaneously combusts.
Yes. Right. He might spontaneously combust like a Spinal Tap drummer. All right. Now, Jackie, at the top of the
hour. I missed you guys.
Yeah.
Missed you too, Binky. Now, you at the top of the hour, you reported the latest on Snowden.
Yes.
It just is hilarious. It really is. Yesterday we were saying it was the, the movie?
Terminal.
Terminal. Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah. Right. I think it's great. There are two separate conversations here, right?
Right.
I mean, there's a conversation about the NSA and surveillance and what we're doing as a country. And that's a totally legitimate conversation we should be having. And then there's sort of the soap opera that is Edward Snowden, which is also hysterical in a totally different way, because I don't think he thought this through. And
I think we need a new Goldie Hawn movie, something where there's always a... He needs to... Some remake of what?
Protocol? Was it Protocol?
Protocol? Seems like good time, something.
Well, here's the analogy.
No, the Money Pit.
Point.
Right!
That had the Russian.
The Money Pit was Shelley Long.
Right, but
it?
he had the Russian. Her ex-husband was the Russian guy.
Oh,
the conductor.
That is a stretch.
All right, we have sidetracked Jackie from the news. All right, go ahead.
He was
Jackie.
Like a conductor.
He was
a conductor.
Yes, so he was Russian.
All right, so go ahead.
Come on.
Give us the the latest. So what happened?
Come back to us.
Yes.
Okay, so the latest is the Kremlin says that Snowden has given up trying to seek asylum in Russia because Vladimir Putin turned around and said, "You got to stop leaking U.S. secrets."
Yes, just say
nyet.
To chattiness.
Didn't want to do that. But here's my analogy. I thought of this morning, and it may or may not be brilliant, depending on how much coffee I had.
Right.
But, like, if a guy cheats on his girlfriend and, like, leaves to be with you, you should know that he's also going to cheat on you and leave. And so I think that's what's happening here. Countries are like, dude, he turned on the U.S., he's going to turn on us. Like, we don't want him.
Jackie, check out. That was brilliant. You have had too much coffee. That is very... That
right?
Yeah.
He's like, he cheated on the U.S., he's going to run around on me. So I don't... He's a man without a home.
Right. And, so think if he tried to go back to the girlfriend,
the pole dancer.
Pole dancer. She'd be like, yeah, talk to the
Nyet.
Hand.
Yeah.
So WikiLeaks is now saying that it is seeking asylum for Snowden in 19 countries, and CNN has a list of who said what at this point. And the best one so far is Bolivia, which says, you know, of course we'll let him in, but we haven't gotten that request for asylum yet. So.
See, and I know we've taken, shrapnel from liberals for not, you know, reflexively just saying he's a hero. But that's the other thing, the fact that he does not want to stop leaking U.S. secrets.
Yeah, he doesn't want to stop. And it's fun. We talked about this a little bit last week, too. It's that, you know, it's one thing if you want to talk about what he's told the U.S. public about what the government is doing within the borders of the U.S. and what may or may not be appropriate. And again, that's a conversation I'm happy to have.
Right.
But when you run to Hong Kong and Russia and start telling them stuff about the U.S. and you start talking about what we're doing in regard to security and our allies, and like, you don't look like so much of a patriot anymore.
Right.
And the fact that you won't stop talking doesn't make the story any less about you.
This is what Putin yesterday talking about. Oh, pardon. Oh, Chris is doing something. Okay.
He's making a reservation. What is he doing?
No. I know.
I didn't put the CD in.
He's having a morning. Just to give him
clearly.
Some slack.
Yeah.
So obviously Putin had said yesterday that Snowden would have to stop leaking U.S. secrets if he wants to get asylum. But he actually said yesterday he believed Snowden had no intention of doing so, right?
Right. And the fact that Snowden's now withdrawn his application indicates that he knows he's got to stop, and he doesn't want to stop. So he's given up on Russia at this point.
This was Putin yesterday.
If he wishes to stay here, then we have one condition. He must stop his work aimed at harming our American partners.
I just say I don't trust anyone in this story, including Putin.
I don't either.
He's like, Putin insisted that Snowden isn't a Russian agent, that Russian security agents haven't contacted him.
I don't trust Snowden. I don't trust Putin. I don't trust the NSA. I don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
No.
He said he's not our agent and has not cooperated with us.
No. Yeah, but I mean, there's really a total credibility gap in a lot of this. And the new little development also is that WikiLeaks, which has said it's applied for asylum for Snowden in 19 countries, also put out a statement, which it says is an official statement from Edward Snowden. And a lot of journalists are questioning the authenticity of this, that whether or not it was written by Snowden or written by Julian Assange, because the grammar and syntax has a very European bend to it. And it says things like, for decades, the United States of America have been one of the strongest defenders of human rights to seek asylum.
Okay.
And we don't refer to the United States as plural.
Right.
The United States has, not have.
It's one country, not,
Exactly. And that's a very Assangean thing.
Here is Putin denying. I love this part. Here we go.
Mr. Snowden is not our agent. He never was, and today is not. Our special services have never worked with him and don't work with him.
I was in the KGB. When would I ever do anything sneaky?
You can trust Putin or not trust him as much as you want, and I would be inclined not to trust him, but at the same time, this isn't looking good for Snowden, so he's going to have to settle in and get another Sparrow or whatever it is they've got at the Russia food court there.
Rocky Mountain Mike says that he's going around picking up the luggage carts for the 25-cent rebate.
Are you done with that card?
There's just so much you can do in the international no man's land transit area of the Moscow airport.
Oh.
How much duty free perfume can you buy?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And listen, I can tell you how much.
I think you're lucky if you find a Sparrow there. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna get borscht and you're gonna like it.
Ice chips, flavored ice chips.
Yeah.
Here was the president yesterday on this, between what's going on.
There have been high-level discussions with the Russians about trying to find a solution to the problem.
You know, it's interesting, Jack. I don't know if you saw this in the media. I did a piece. Snowden may wish he'd went to jail in America if he accept Putin's offer of Russian exile. And they did a whole, you know, this whole list of, former, NSA people that have defected, right? NSA leaker Edward Snowden has been effectively offered sanctuary by Putin on the condition he renounces unhelpful habit of revealing American intelligence gathering to the press and instead reveal them only to the Federal Security Service. Putin said that provided he provide Washington with some perfunctory assurances, he will no longer regularly embarrass the American intelligence community. I mean, that may be it too, Jackie, right? You go, as long as you're just talking, that may be what's happening. Like, if you just tell us, don't leak it to the public. I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, everything about this is so shady. Do you see Glenn Greenwald went on Fox?
Yes, he was on Fox and Friends this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. After all the awful things he said about Fox News in the past.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah, Foreign Policy magazine compiled a list of cases of American defectors who provided Soviet with troves of secrets about American intelligence gathering techniques and methods, and their stories are less than heartening. There were two men they detailed. They both asked to leave Russia within a year of defection, but no country would accept them. The story of CIA defector Edward Lee Howard described a similar inability to adjust. Glenn Michael Sauter was another one. Mm-hmm. That
inability to adjust? They don't have the freedom there that we do, huh?
What? That's weird.
Huh.
He suffocated himself in 1989 with his own car's exhaust. I mean, now what, I guess, Jack, is the next question, right? Like,
again, don't think he thought this through. He's living in Hawaii with his cute girlfriend.
Might have Googled, median temperatures in Iceland this time of year.
Yeah, it's all kind of a big mess for him at the moment. And what's interesting is in this letter he calls himself, and we don't even know if he wrote this, but calls himself stateless, and he compares himself to Bradley Manning, among other people. And I think it's important to note that he's only stateless because he took off.
He
stranded himself. I mean, he didn't leak this and then hunker down. He took off, and then he made himself the center of attention.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You got your passport revoked because
against
the U.S.
Right, that we shouldn't be having these discussions, but there's another piece in the Daily Beast today, why Bush violated the Fourth Amendment and Obama has not. And again, we can debate on, even if this is constitutional, is it the way, we should, run our surveillance.
Yeah,
stuff,
and I think we can have both these conversations.
Right.
It's totally fine. I mean, look, you're going to ignore human nature and say this isn't a fascinating story. Of course it is.
Right.
It's an incredibly fascinating story. It's got twists and turns. It's very soap operatic. Is that a word? And it's interesting. Why not? I mean, just how this all plays out. It's a separate story from the substance of what he's leaking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, that sounds awful. You know what I mean?
He's having discharge.
It sounds like Jim's morning.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's classified. Ick. All right. Jack, thanks, honey. Appreciate it.
You're welcome,
See
guys.
You top of the hour.
Yay.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. We roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you really like.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com coming up with some more great Charlie kind of stuff.
Yes.
Jim is out sick. I know you might think he's late because of, driving stuff.
Sure.
In California, we have driving problems. Frequently, it's a traffic situation.
Yes.
Which is why we need Californians' GPS.
Never go anywhere without the Californian's GPS.
I want to get to that place that sells Mexican country-style chairs.
We're going to take San Vicente to where it curves into Wilshire, to the 405 North and up to Mulholland.
What? This time of day, it's going to be jammed.
Okay, I can recalculate the route. So you can take Santa Monica to Sunset and Laurel Canyon to Ventura, which would totally take you by that stand that sells fresh tangerines off Van Nuys.
Oh, dude, I changed my mind. I want to go to that scented candle shop in Melrose. Look, take Pico to the 110, then to the 101, but get off of Vermont.
I'm afraid I can't allow you to do that.
What are you doing?
This route is too important for me to allow you to recalculate it, Dave.
What?
Daisy, in your end.
Totally not cool!
The Californian's GPS. Don't let your GPS put you on Beverly Glen because you don't want to end up in Encino.
No.
No.
I'm just trying to figure if you really can take Pico to the 110 to the 101 and get off of Melrose. But you really can.
We're going to be stuck on that all day. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We spend most of our time in brain power doing here in L.A.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I could have taken Pico all along? Oh. All right. So a lot's going on. Wow. Have you seen a picture of the hot shots, the firemen?
Yeah.
Every single one of them but one died in this tragedy in Arizona.
God.
And I guess he might have been moving the truck or repositioning equipment or something. But the president talking about what happened in Arizona.
The news is heartbreaking. And our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of the brave firefighters who were out there.
Yeah, they were struggling for answers still after 19 highly trained firefighters were trapped and killed by windblown wildfire one day after the worst loss of life for an American fire department since 9/11. Investigators said they hadn't figured out why the men were unable to retreat to a safe zone or otherwise survive the inferno. For now, we mourn, said Governor Brewer. The fire sparked by lightning on Friday raged uncontrolled for a fourth day. By afternoon, it had destroyed more than 200 buildings.
Yeah.
And it was described as 0% contained, although there were more than 400 firefighters trying. The wildfire claimed all but one member of the Granite Mountain Hotshots, a team of elite firefighters known for extensive training and a demanding fitness program. They go in these things they pull over themselves.
They're basically little tents.
Yeah, they're supposed to protect
them. Yeah, fire retardant tents.
Right, but they were saying if the fire sweeps over quickly, they can survive it. But obviously, they
have 30 seconds to get under the thing and close it up.
Yeah,
and they just didn't have enough time.
Yeah. So their official said the only survivor might have been repositioning equipment. But just what a tragedy. The president again.
This is one more reminder of the fact that our first responders, they put their lives on the line every single day. And every time we have a community in crisis, a disaster strikes, we've got people in need, firefighters, law enforcement officers, they run towards the danger.
And the president one more time yesterday.
And he was in Africa saying all this.
Yeah.
We are heartbroken about what happened. Obviously, we're prepared to provide any support we can in investigating exactly how this took place.
And Governor Brewer in Arizona yesterday. Governor Brewer yesterday.
To the friends and the family of those lost yesterday, I know we can never fully repay the sacrifices made by your loved ones.
All right, Earl in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Earl.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay, well, good. What I had to say was about Paula Deen, and I think people have it a little wrong. It's not of what she said. It's how she acted afterwards. No corporation wants to have a sniveling, whining, crying apology. It makes them look weak. And if you'll notice, when people started dumping her, it was right after she made that terrible apology.
Yeah, Earl, it reminds it makes you wonder, like, is she crying for herself and her business? I mean, and then I think, didn't on the Today Show she also say she only said the word once in her life? And it's like, come on. That's not believable, particularly in the deposition, right? She admitted to more.
No, she only admitted to once.
Yeah,
really?
In the deposition. She was accused of saying it a lot more. But she only admitted to it
once. Does anybody believe, Earl, she only said it once in her whole life?
Well, being from that part of the country, and see, this is another mistake she made. If she had come back out and not apologized for her heritage, what she learned as a child was wrong. And she's learned, hopefully, over the years, not to express that so much. So, but still, you should not apologize for where you're from or what you learned while you were growing up. It's a tradition down there. It's the way it was.
To use the N-word?
No. Well, I mean, it was at one point. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's talk about that. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What was all that about me trading sexual favors for material gain?
It was a compliment.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, well, now we've stirred the Paula Deen bouillabaisse.
Oh, boy.
And Dean Abadala will join us later. He wrote a piece, Can We Forgive Paula Deen? And he argues yes. And he's someone that's been called a sand N-word because he's an Arab.
Well, yes.
All right. Let's go to Kathy in Colorado. Hi, Kath.
Good morning, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Listen, I grew up in Memphis, and we weren't allowed to use the N-word in our house. My parents knew that it was a bad word, and right. It was all around me. And Paula Deen does not get any kind of a pass at all. People knew that that was a bad word to use. And you just don't get a pass because you grew up in the South to use the N-word.
Yeah, well, you know, but Kathy, interesting, I didn't grow up in the South. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and there were, I can think in particular, two kids I went to school with whose family regularly used that word.
You know, I always,
you're right, it was the same. No, we were,
I
nobody used that word in my
person.
House.
What's there that? Was as much racism in the North as there was mm-hmm. in the South. It was just a different kind of racism. But
yeah.
Paula Deen, I just never could watch her. I never liked her. I don't like that characteristic of some old woman from the South. It just doesn't go in this 2013. And she doesn't get any kind of a pass, no matter what her heritage is.
You know,
thank you, Stephanie.
Oh, thanks, Kath. And somebody was saying, everybody has a different bone to pick with Paula Deen. Someone was saying she actually appropriated black Southern cooking. Without really crediting, do you know what I mean? Like every,
well,
but I think the other legitimate criticism is the kind of food she's been pushing without revealing that she had diabetes and then signing a deal with a pharmaceutical company before she talked about
right.
it.
Right, but you know, she was trying to make she was trying to atone for her sins. The book that she was just about ready to release before her publisher dropped her last week was Paula Deen's New Testament, which was her rewriting her old recipes to make them a lot more healthier.
Oh, all right.
So, you know, there's that.
Anyway, no, I've talked about this before, but growing up in the 70s, there were definitely, like, you know, kids that I went to school with that used that word in the North. And
mm-hmm.
we didn't, our house, and we just knew, as, you know, Kathy in Colorado was saying, mm-hmm. that it was just intrinsically wrong that you don't use that word. And,
yeah.
But
my high school graduation after party was held at a place called the James River Country Club in Virginia. And the black people and the Jewish people in my class were not allowed to attend because the club did not allow...
The Buffalo Country Club that we belonged to.
I had no idea that still went on.
No blacks or Jews.
Yeah.
Which I didn't... I was a kid. I didn't really even understand
that. I had no idea that still went on in 1987.
Yeah.
That floored me.
Yeah. I remember we took my friend Paul there when I was older,
mm-hmm.
and he started going... And I'm like, what that? He's like, it's the Jew alert. It's setting the Jew alert off. And yeah, but I mean, and look at Rude Pundit yesterday.
Yeah.
He grew up in Louisiana, and he said literally in their high school, they in the yearbook, they voted best all around black and best all around white,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't see anything wrong with it.
No, they thought it was a good thing they were doing.
Right. Let's go to Jeff in Denver. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Morning, Steph.
Good morning.
You said you wanted to talk about the growing up in the South thing. I grew up, I'm from Alabama. I'm 50 years old now. I grew up in Alabama about 32 years. And the people, it's inbred down there. It's raised. I mean, my dad in my household, the only good one was a dead one.
Oof.
And it's just, I mean, I was raised that way, but you have to broaden your horizons. You have to broaden your mind to realize there are good and bad in every race, every nationality. And, you know, there's no one bad all, period.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems like we went through this, didn't we, Jeff, with Dr. Laura? You know, I mean, she had a First Amendment right to yell the N-word, what was it, 11 times or something? And people had a right to decide how they felt about that, I guess. And, you know, the thing is, she didn't get fired. She walked away from a multimillion-dollar contract, you know? So, I mean,
mm-hmm. Racism is everywhere. I told my wife, I met my wife out here from Denver, Colorado, and I told her, there's racism everywhere. Out here, there's what I called it when I first came out here, closet racism, because we're in the South, you do know whether somebody likes you or not, so you know whether for your safety to stay away.
Yeah.
But when it's a closet prejudice, you don't know it until you're already stabbed in the back.
Yeah.
I think that's worse.
Yeah. I mean, I was offended a little bit by the Dr. Laura thing. You remember this, because I was thinking, you know, I'm gay. There's still a lot of states I could be fired in.
Absolutely.
She didn't get fired.
Nope.
You know, she, obviously sponsors and listeners had a right to react to that.
And they did.
And it that particular thing that she said was particularly venomous in the way she said it, and people reacted the way they did, but that didn't mean anyone took away her First Amendment rights.
She screamed that people were taking away her First Amendment rights.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes,
but no, nobody did.
Danny in Sydney, Australia. Why, crikey, hello.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Hi. Just on the gay marriage issue, something that I've noticed that I think is really weird is that people who are opposed to gay rights seem to accept that you shouldn't discriminate on people, discriminate against people based on innate characteristics like your gender or your race or whatever. But they think it's okay to discriminate against you on sexual orientation because they say it's a choice. But they ignore the fact that your religion is a choice. And yet we have a ban on discriminating based on religion.
Right. Yeah.
People choose to change religion. They choose to become an atheist. They choose to convert or whatever. So your religion is definitely a choice.
Right. And, Danny, that's like we've been talking about this. Since when is it okay to discriminate against anybody in America? I mean, you know, I was saying, you know, I keep repeating this just because it stuck in my head. Somebody calling and saying, you know, were you born with the desire to sleep with the opposite race or is it a choice? What difference does it make? Right?
Yes, and you said that yesterday.
Yeah.
But it just struck me as so weird that they think it's okay to discriminate because it's a choice when you're gay, but not it's a choice when you're based on your religion. Point number two is I saw Chris Cluey on Conan O'Brien. He has a new book out. You should have him on your program.
Well, we would love to have him on our program, as we have several times. And we'll
it's
get right on it.
You need Sparkle Ponies.
Yes.
I need Sparkle Ponies. Thank you. All right, get on that, Travis. let's go to Natasha in Georgia on the Paula Deen controversy. Hello, Natasha.
Hey, Stephanie. Just wanted to let you know I love your show.
Thank
and Chris, you're so hot.
Thank you, Natasha.
I wanted to get in on a Paula Deen conversation. And what I want to say about that is I was born and raised in South Carolina, and it's sad on so many levels because of the fact that Paula Deen said what she did, but there's so many African Americans in South Carolina and other areas of the South that just ignore that type of language. It's kind of like we've heard it so much that we don't pay any attention to it anymore. It doesn't make it right, but we just don't. I'll give you an example, too, of the type of situation that you have down there. Let's not forget that in 2000, the year 2000 was when they took the Confederate flag from on top of the State House dome. I was there in Columbia, South Carolina that day, and I've never seen as many toothless people in all of my life wearing Confederate flags yelling that word. I mean, I watched as the marchers peacefully marched down the streets of the South Carolina State Capitol, and that word was just hurled so many times during the day. It was unbelievable.
Natasha, we certainly don't mean to imply that everyone that is dentally challenged is a bigot. We're just saying, right?
I'm just saying, but you know, it's so prevalent. And my final thought on this is, like, for instance, when I go home to visit my parents, I actually hate to go there because there are people that will actually stand at a doorway. They see me coming across the parking lot, but because I'm African American, I've had old ladies stand there and wait on me to open the door for them. They will wait. They're at the door, but they stand there and wait on me to open the door for them. So that's the kind of thing that we have happening in the South.
Yeah.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right. Thanks, Natasha.
Oh, she needed to go and make big trouble for Moose and Squirrel.
My best of Buddhists.
Yes.
We were saying it, like, we've all grown up in different eras, and I was saying I grew up in North, and I was joking about nobody said the N-word in our house. It was just understood. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. But there was the whispery thing.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
My mom did that.
Yeah.
Black. But I didn't just as a way of being polite, of not, like, you know, pointing out the difference too loudly.
Oh, my goodness, he's black.
Right.
That was your mom.
Right. If that was my mom, the first one, that would have been even more confusing. What?
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Mom, you have testicles. What the hell? All right. Lisa in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Stephanie. How y'all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to talk really, really fast. This Snowden thing, because that's the first thing I called about.
Okay.
This Snowden thing. I told you guys earlier when I called you, this thing is going to fall apart because this man is being coached into doing this. And we already figured that out when he met with them in February and got the job in March. What is happening in some of these countries, especially Ecuador, the people rose up against their leader. Remember, he was going to let him in and da-da-da-da-da. And they said, yet last month you passed a bill that locked several media people in jail that did less than Mr. Snowden. And they told him to leave America alone because they did not want to lose the revenue and the monies they got from and help they gotten from the United States. That's why he backed off, because the people rose up. And that's what's happening in a lot of these places. They're talking this talk, and he's picking countries that's treating their people like dogs. And I guess he thought these people weren't going to come out and speak out and say, how dare you worry about coming here when they're treating us worse than anything you'll ever get into America. So that's why the guy from Ecuador backed off. But you don't hear that, because I listen to a lot of the international radio stations.
Right.
And they have, you know, it's their people behind. And I'm going to leave you with this, guys. Paula Deen, I am from the South. I was raised in Louisiana. I love Paula Deen's spicy chicken recipe. However, we cannot say it's just white America calling the N-word. You have black people who use words that they should not use against white America. So we cannot just make this thing. If we're going to have a dialogue, it got to be a two-way dialogue. It cannot be just one way. Yes, she was wrong, but those who discriminate and treat white Americans wrong, white America wrong, they are wrong too. So for us to have a dialogue, we've got to include everybody.
That is a good point, Lisa, and this cracker thanks you.
Thank you.
All right. You know, by the way, we mentioned this yesterday, but one reason why I think we clearly, not just Paula Deen, that clearly racism still exists in America and we need the Voting Rights Act, et cetera, just based on Fox News coverage of the Zimmerman trial alone.
Oh, my God.
And we will talk about all of that as we continue. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Ain't that America, home of the free,
yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Michael Tomosky of the Daily Beast, who I want to date and kiss and marry, a great piece about the ageist attack against Hillary. That's what they're warming up in the bullpen.
That's right.
For 2016 over there on the right. He wrote a great piece about it. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes. All right, I've been talking about Paula Deen. We were saying, you know, if you need any more evidence, not just Paula Deen, but, you know, and what happened with the Voting Rights Act, that we need the Voting Rights Act. There is still racism in America. Yeah. It's Fox News coverage of the Zimmerman trial.
Yeah. The way they treated poor Rachel Jeantel.
That's Trayvon's friend who was the last person to talk to him who was on the phone, who is a young girl who's not obviously accustomed to being, you know, on a witness stand. And they put her on trial just like they've tried to put Trayvon on trial.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see this part? Fox News recently speculated Martin could probably kill someone with his Skittles and an Arizona iced tea bottle he was carrying.
Whatever.
Okay. So that's how it's... the headline is in Salon. Fox News adopts George Zimmerman. Hannity and others have sought to portray Zimmerman as the real victim. Clearly.
Sure.
Because he's the one that's alive.
Was, yeah.
Of the victim of a left-wing media lynch mob, a term used by Ann Coulter. So he shot an unarmed black teenager, and I don't understand. He wasn't even charged originally until there was an outcry. I don't get why Zimmerman is a... Hannity could not help but bring up the new Black Panthers in an interview with Zimmerman recently. How unfortunate it was that the defendant's name had been dragged through the mud. Yeah, that's the real tragedy there. And I was listening to our buddy Marsha Clark talk yesterday, and there's there's a lot of inconsistencies in Zimmerman's story. Like, you know, his injuries were not consistent with his story, with being pummeled or you know, whatever his story is. And by the way, he on the tape several times, he refers to Trayvon as the suspect.
Yeah.
First of all,
he's not.
Deputy Dog,
yeah.
He's not suspected of anything by anyone but you.
Yeah.
Even the suspect. Mall cop. In
fact, a mall cop.
I know, exactly. That's my point. It's like, you know, Barney Fife. Oh, I got the suspect. It's like, he's not a suspect. No,
Barney Fife had a badge. This guy had nothing.
Yeah. In fact, Zimmerman got himself in trouble for being too close to the conservative media when his legal team quit last year. Remember citing a phone call to Hannity that had not been authorized? Yeah, he was his basically, you know, his legal representation. I mean, incredible. Yeah, incredible. All right, and they've made it into a racial thing.
Yeah.
It's just, all right. Byron in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Byron.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
How you doing, Steph?
Good.
I'm kind of nervous first time calling.
Oh, don't be nervous.
Yeah, I'm calling about Paula Deen.
Yeah.
I'm not really mad at her using the N-word. It's the way she treated people, black people.
That's what she was on trial for, was the way she treated her employees.
Yeah, I mean, for example, I'd rather be called an N-word than been treated like an N-word. You can call me that all you want to. I don't care, but you start treating me like that, that's where we get a problem.
Well, you know, and it sounds like that the other issue is her brother was obviously a racist jerk.
Yeah, because he treated black people wrong.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She gave an interview. I have black friends. Yes, but he's black as that board over there. That right there made me mad.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not surprised you use the N-word. You got an old white woman from the South who granddaddy owned slaves. Of course you're going to use the N-word. Okay, I don't care. Go ahead. But the way you treat people is where racism comes in.
Yeah, well, I care about both. But Robert in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Hi. You know, my problem is with the institutionalized racism of the South, you know, and Paula Deen's just a symbol of that, and you know, another symbol is the Confederate flag, and I can't for the life of me, since Jim isn't here, please permit me to make the first Nazi reference. How is the Confederate flag not like the Nazi swastika?
Yeah,
you know, there was a Holocaust against Africans. I mean,
right.
I think 2 million died on the slave ships coming over. I mean, it was horrible, and it's shameful, and yet they fly that flag with such pride. I just can't get over it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. Marvin in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marvin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad Paula Deen's gone. I mean, her soapbox good was taken away. She is an old school Southern bigot. No surprise there. And plus, alarmingly, her food is bad for people too. So it's a good double-double. But that word, it's a heinous word, and I'm from the school that it just needs to be abolished. And the unspoken argument is really how prevalent it is in the black community. I live in suburban Chicago. I work in Chicago, and it's everywhere. It's trickled into the kids. Use it in a conversational manner, and I'm talking everybody, the Asians, whites, black kids in my diverse school district. And black America has not, they have not, I don't believe it's been actively attempted to. You can't have it both ways. It's not Americans are not going to try and see the differences in the uses. That's really not realistic, and we all know there's a difference in the uses of that word, but you cannot expect that word to go away when it's used so prevalently in pop culture, in communities, and everywhere. And that, I don't know why it's never been addressed.
I have to say, and I'm obviously just a lame-ass white girl, Marvin, but I heard a black guy calling a talk radio show yesterday, and you know, I sort of don't get that, but he was talking about, like, one of our previous callers just said, like, oh, I don't care that much about that word, or, oh, it depends on how you use it, if you use it in a friendly way.
Wow.
I'm like, really? Is there a friendly way to use that word? I'd be awful careful with your tone if that's, you know.
It's one or the other in my book. It's you got to either get rid of it, which I believe, or if it's used, don't be surprised and don't be outraged, because you can't accept. You can't have a word that is acceptable for, you know what I mean? You can't just say you guys can use it and you can't. That's flat out wrong.
The kids are getting it from music, though. Have you listened to a lot of the hip-hop music?
It's
every other word.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, as a lame-ass liberal white woman, I get uncomfortable even in spinning class.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's a white instructor using
a song with
the
N-word in it. Yeah.
I'm like, I just don't think that's okay.
I just believe, you know, okay, Paula Deen, like I said, old school, no surprise, like the previous caller, that's antebellum South. That's just going to die out.
Yeah.
That's the ugliness of the word. But what's going on now is just really alarming. And, no one's really addressed. Guys like Michael Dyson, they think that it's...
No, I mean, like I say, Marvin,
out there.
I just wonder if it's what Chris is alluding to, that at least a couple of black people that I've talked to have said that the word doesn't bother them. And I'm like, how come it bothers me? I mean, literally, even in a song, in a class, I'm like, it just makes me uncomfortable.
No, that's just not true, because you see outrage every time white America uses that word. There's big outrage, and there should be outrage. So, I mean, look, if a black man says he doesn't mind using that, I'm not going to go that. I've got plenty of black.
You're really in no position to say, hey, you can't use that.
Exactly. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Michael Tomosky from the Daily Beast joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com at the bottom of the hour. But first, I'm cheating on Charlie. Michael Tomosky, my new crush from the Daily Beast, has a great piece about the ageist attack on Hillary. He joins us now. Good morning, Michael.
Hey there.
Hello, new crush.
You don't know, I might have bad breath. I mean, there's all kinds of issues.
It doesn't matter in the real world. It's all fictional.
We never met face to face.
No.
It would be just a huge disappointment.
No. I worship you from afar, and if I had a chance, I would up close. Now, Michael, you write, Republicans are preparing to attack Clinton for being old. You're writing on why that will probably backfire. But great piece. I mean, and pretty predictable, right? Coming from
Well, as I said on an earlier show this morning, there are some fair questions about her age, right? I mean, she'll be about as old as Ronald Reagan was when he took office, and there were fair questions about his age when he ran. So there are fair questions, but the Republicans, being the Republicans, will tend to concentrate on the unfair ones.
Right. She will be 69 if she runs, correct, and turns 70 in her first year in office?
That's right, yeah. Comparatively to Reagan, about 8 or 9 months younger than he was at the same point. But still, that would put her, if she were, now this is a lot of ifs, but if she were to serve two terms, that would put her into her late 70s. And, the late 70s, things start to go. She's going to have a chance to answer those questions,
right.
And she's going to be able to show, how on the ball she is, how astute she is, how much stamina she has, and so on and so forth. And the Republicans, meanwhile, are going to be insinuating and making jokes and making snide remarks.
Right.
And, it's going to backfire on them. And,
right.
And,
Michael, I mean, you make the larger point. You say, so now the Republicans, having tried sexism against Hillary Clinton for two decades, say they're ditching that and going for ageism. And again, a great point you say, of course, whether the party of Todd Akin and involuntary vaginal probes can really ditch sexism remains doubtful.
Yeah.
So let's amend that to say they're merely adding ageism to the list of indictments. And I think, as you say, this is already a party that's not playing well with women for a number of reasons, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, making fun of a woman for her age is, you can picture, Mitch McConnell, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, that's going to be really appealing.
Right. Well, I think what your point is that they're going to try to say, oh, we're the party of the young and the future and the next generation and all of that, right?
Yeah.
You say several GOP operatives talking about to the Times this weekend, the message would be it's time for Clinton's generation to step off the stage because a lot of their potential candidates are younger, right? Whether it's Ryan or Paul or Rubio.
Yeah, they're going to nominate somebody, presumably, who's in their 40s or maybe, early 50s. So they're going to try to push that argument. But there's one little problem with that argument, which is issues. And all the issues that many polls tell us that young people care about are issues where the Republicans are just occupy a very deeply reactionary position, and that the Democrats support same-sex marriage, immigration reform, doing something about climate change. How about health care and Obamacare, you know, where people up to age 26 can stay on their parents' plans, which the Democrats support and the Republicans want to appeal. Right. I could go on and on and on, but, you know, there's hardly a single thing that any of those Republicans for, except Ron Paul on domestic surveillance, right. But that's one issue out of a list of about eight.
Well, and, you know, Michael, they tried this at their convention, didn't they? The symbolism. That,
yeah.
As you say, you know, Republicans make the same mistake all the time with groups they don't normally talk to or know much about, you know, which is why they still lost the Latino vote 70-something percent to 20-something percent, right?
Right, right, exactly. And they try to, you know, they try to make these inroads, and they try to say things like, you know, Latinos are natural conservatives, but actually the polls don't show that. I mean, Latinos support abortion rights at about the same rate the general population does, and they support same-sex marriage at about the same rate general population does. So they're not really natural conservatives. But the Republicans always do this thing of thinking, you know, that we can get them, you know, by having a Spanish language state, you know, TV station or page on our website or something.
Right.
Well, no, people want a little more than that. They're not that stupid.
Right. Well, exactly. They always count on people being stupid. That's exactly it. And as you say, it's like rather than having policies that are in step with, you know, this generation, they just think, oh, well, here's someone that's closer to your age. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
And also, you say, just as the Republicans cemented the loyalty that a lot of women feel toward Hillary, obviously, by overdoing their attacks on her in the earlier White House years, so they will again, and they'll make her a figure of sympathy to middle America just as they did before. And this is the point, I think, is about Obama as well. You say, talk about hardwired. They so seethe with hatred for her and are so incapable of understanding the vast majority of American do not share their hatred, but indeed has named her our country's most admired woman in 17 of the last 20 years. They'll say and do things that may well convert young people into her most ardent defenders. I think that's an interesting point.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that they look at those surveys and think it must be rigged. They're not asking us.
Right.
But the fact is the fact. 17 of the last 20 years is a pretty remarkable run.
Yeah.
The most admired woman in America. And by the way, you know, that's not just septuagenarians talking, is it, Stephanie? I mean, that's people of all ages, and that's young people. And I also think that there are a lot of young women in their 20s who grew up, when they first were learning about the world, they looked at their TV. Bill Clinton was the president. Hillary Clinton was the first lady. So she's in their head. She's kind of the model for what the first lady is supposed to be, right?
Right.
And these are women who are now in their 20s, and they vote. And I think they probably, most of them, not all of them, obviously, but I think a strong majority of them have a lot of respect for Hillary Clinton.
Well, and as you say, it's not just, and you went through all of the issues that, of course, she's more in step with, you know, not just young people, but everybody. But you say, you know, she will be the one who supports equality in all its forms instead of opposing it in all its forms. She'll be the candidate for whom virtually every young people icon will be stumping. And she'll be the candidate of a party that is not the comfortable home to America's bigots and racists.
Yep. And I think, you know, these are all important things to young people. And if you look at, even, do you remember a couple of months ago, the college Republicans released that poll that showed how out of step their party was with young people?
Right.
If you look down into the results of that poll, young people are even pretty liberal on economic and government issues. And, you know, they support higher taxes on rich people. So, you know, Republicans are just, I mean, it's just top to bottom. Out of touch.
Well, and you know, but I think that's why this voting rights decision is so troubling, isn't it, Michael? Because I said this during the last election. It seems like instead of coming up with ideas that actually appeal to these groups, that's all they seem to be able to think of is how do we suppress that vote, right?
Yeah, 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 exactly. And so, you know, so they respond to that decision by doubling down on voter suppression. Well, again, this is substance. People notice these things. You know, having more black singers at your convention doesn't really make up for this.
Michael, you know, interesting, too, speaking of, we didn't get to talk last week with the Supreme Court decisions, for instance, on gay rights. I mean, you know, here we go now. It's going to go, there's going to be a lot of these fights state by state. But, you know, it just seems like that ship has sailed. They are just on the wrong side of history, and they're going to keep flailing, though, aren't they?
They are, and they're going to stay on the wrong side of history for as long as they possibly can. And, boy, this immigration debate lately is so instructive, I think, Stephanie, because, you know, how did they go from saying last November, we have to embrace this or otherwise we're going to be doomed, to saying today, it's a phony issue, we don't have to embrace it, we'll win with the white vote.
Right.
Forget Latinos. We'll win with the white vote. This is really, well, I was about to say something that I probably shouldn't say on radio, but let me consider that for another couple of weeks. But this is almost like, because it's almost like becoming a pseudo nationalist party or something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. I love the headline I read today. Gay married man in Florida is approved for green card. I'm like, oh, I feel right-wing heads exploding.
Yeah.
Gays and immigrants, the two things they love best, all melded into one story.
It's fun to make fun of them, but it's bad for the country, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. Well, let's hope they will go the way of the Whigs.
Yeah.
Michael Tomosky, a great piece, The Ageist Attack on Hillary in the Daily Beast. Thanks so much, honey. Talk to you again soon.
Okay, sure thing.
All right, there he goes. He's so cute and cuddly.
It's me.
He's just cute and cuddly. He said one thing about, because Rush Limbaugh had said something about, I don't think the country wants to watch a woman age in front of their eyes. And he said he probably creates 10 more Clinton voters every time he opens his fat mouth.
Yeah. Good God.
I love Michael Tomosky. Steve in Savannah, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I want to talk about the Paula Deen story.
Yep.
As well as bigotry and prejudice in general. To me, bigotry and prejudice is about ignorance. If you've never come in contact with a particular issue, if you've not come in contact with blacks, if you've not come in contact with immigrants, if you've not come in contact with gay folks, then you don't have a clue. And in the South, there is a lot of ignorance, particularly around race, immigration, and the gay issue. In the Paula Deen situation, 30 years ago, in anger and fear, she screamed the N-word. But her life since then has indicated that she has come in contact with education. She has changed. She now understands, and things that she has done.
How do you know that, Steve?
Well, her employees are sticking up for her. The fact that she donates money and has foundations that help poor folks, including blacks. She is heavily involved.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter did make that point, mm-hmm. that a lot of the, you know, programs do serve the black population. So, you know, Steve, I think you make some points. We're going to talk about this more with Dean Abadala about whether do we forgive Paula Deen and your thoughts on it. 17 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com. Much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That is great radio.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Jim is right. If crystal meth had a sound, that would be it.
Yep.
22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free for me. My favorite new spinning song. Yay! Okay, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Yeah, I was mentioning to Michael Tomosky this headline. I just like headlines that I can feel right when heads exploding over.
Yeah.
Gay married man in Florida approved for green card. An American man in Florida and his husband, who is from Bulgaria, have become the first same-sex married couple to be approved for a permanent resident visa, an immigration milestone that comes after the Supreme Court struck down the federal law against same-sex marriage. The permanent visa, known as a green card, was issued by email late Friday. For the last 2 years, by the way, the agency has kept the list of same-sex couples whose green card were denied. Those denials will now be reversed without couples having to present new applications if no other issues have arisen. And to that I say once again, yay. Yay. people get to be with people they love.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
Yay.
Neener. Okay. Let's go to John in Chicago. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Hey, good.
I have to take issue with that earlier caller who was citing black usage of the N-word and telling us we need to stop. I take offense to that for this very reason. All identity groups, black, Jewish, LGBT, Hispanic, we all make jokes amongst ourselves about using the slurs and the jokes that are meant to demean us, but amongst ourselves we have a lot of fun with it. This weekend I was in the Pride Parade, and I had a great time, and my friends got really comfortable, and they were having fun. I couldn't repeat the stuff they were saying, and I did not feel that I needed to. I didn't feel that my rights were infringed upon. I didn't feel that their usage of slurs and jokes would justify mine. I don't know why people think that applies to black folks, but doesn't apply to other groups.
Meaning that it's okay to use certain slurs among friends?
No. Not only amongst friends. So, for instance, I was around, like I said, a bunch of my friends who are members of the LGBT community, and they were having a lot of fun. They're really relaxed, saying things, throwing names back and forth, and laughing, and I'm saying things I couldn't say, and I never felt that I needed to say them, or mm-hmm. I never felt that.
Well, you're straight, John.
I'm straight.
Right.
But, like, so, for instance, if you're around me and my black friends, and we are throwing the N-word around or jokes, I don't think I know you well enough to think that you wouldn't think that would justify you using it, right?
Right. I mean,
I think, John,
I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. I just do think there's different. I don't think it's really kind of ever okay for a white person to use the N-word.
That's what I'm saying. It's never right. Same, like, think about John Leguizamo. Remember the name of his great stage play for 2 years? Blake O'Rama, remember when Leguizamo did that
right.
play?
Right.
Never once did I feel that entitled me to use that word.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
And that's what I'm trying to say is when people use the slurs that are directed at their community, mm-hmm. that doesn't entitle people who are not part of their community
right.
to use
well,
them.
Well, I get what you're saying. It's not up to us to make the rules between,
right.
let's say, a group of gay friends that want to use the F word for gay men to each other. I mean,
it's taking the power away from the bigots by the people themselves using the word.
Right.
Right. And two things.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm not saying, black people shouldn't use that word with each other. I'm just saying it's not okay for white people to use it, I don't think.
Right. I'm saying two things that would have been a big mistake for me this weekend would have either been to chastise them for using their word or to think that I could use the word. You know, I mean, it's just
right, and but John, my point is that I've never heard many contexts where a straight guy, it's okay to use the F word for gay man. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, but that's what I'm saying, and you're right, but then people will say, and that's why I said the N word is special, because everyone will use black just usage of it as justification for it. We would never, ever say to other groups, you Jewish folks tell Jewish jokes, so we can tell Jewish jokes. Right,
but right. For the some point reason, is, people white people use that folks. Word when they were beating and flogging and lynching black people. It is a particularly charged word, I think, for a white person to use against any black person.
I think we're on the same page, Steph.
Yeah. All right, honey. I appreciate that. I'm not arguing with you about that. I don't even know what we're arguing about now. Let's go to Mike in Atlanta. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
The previous caller from Savannah, everybody out here in defense of Paula Deen saying, she did it 30 years ago. In 2007, she was the one that was in charge of her brother's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she said she wanted to have a bunch of black people dressed up and, like, little ends walking all over.
Well, that's
right.
Tap dancing
the Lynn.
That's according to a complaint that was filed against her. She hasn't admitted to that.
I'm just trying to
be a stickler for the legal.
And a couple of years ago, she was on a TV show, and the host wanted her to introduce her friend, and she turned around and goes, Horace, you need to step away from that black backdrop. They can't see you. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, they're acting like this all happened 30 years ago. This is all within the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, if you're believing, Ruth Pundit was on yesterday, he said he read the whole deposition.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a lot. I mean, I haven't read the whole thing.
It's a lot. Yes, it is.
Steve in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, Steffi?
Good.
My dad was born and raised in North Tonawanda. I see you're from Lockport.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I think we have something in common here. I want to reply to that man from Georgia. Uh-huh. And he says it's ignorance, and it's not ignorance. I happen to read German as a second language. There's some proverbs he needs to learn. First the nest, then the hatchlings. That means you don't give out welfare checks and all this other stuff to people who don't prepare to have children. Second, you can't wash... Yes. The second proverb, you can't wash a Negro white. Now, what does it have to do? Detroit during the 1960s.
I'm sorry, what now? What? That's a proverb?
Yes, wash a Negro white. You can't wash a Negro white.
That's an inappropriate proverb.
Proverb from where?
Man kann einen mohren nicht weiß waschen. That's in German. Okay.
All right. All right. That just took a turn for the odd. Okay. That's one I had not heard, that particular
I
proverb.
Wish Jim were here translate that German.
Yes. Okay.
And to maybe give us a little insight into that German proverb. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce of Esquire next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I knew it all along. She is still the same irresponsible train wreck that she always was.
Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. That's why people must stop and watch. Uh-huh. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Have you got your pink sneakers on today?
My fake sneakers?
Your pink sneakers.
Oh, my pink sneakers. Oh, in honor of marriage equality?
Yeah, no, your Wendy Davis pink sneakers.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She wore pink sneakers while
Crystal
giving that.
Wrong cause.
On, but Crystal Boy wears pink sneakers every day, so what the hell difference does it make?
I was not. It was a different cause. I am not wearing them, but I should be.
See, you're completely baffled in your sisterhood today.
I really am.
I bumfuzzled you on your sisterhood.
Yes.
It really doesn't sound good.
Yes, how about that Wendy Davis, and how about that Rick Perry?
Well, one of them has really good hair, and it's not Rick Davis.
Rick Perry, you mean?
Rick Perry, yeah, whoever.
Yeah, I you know, it's fun. No,
who the hell is Rick Davis? Where'd that come from?
I have no idea. Wendy Davis and Rick Perry.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Charlie's
Rick
drunk.
Davis is some outfielder I interviewed at some point.
I'm sure it was.
Charlie's getting drunk in honor of July 4th already. Charlie. Yeah.
Hey, it's almost 11 o'clock here at the East Coast.
It really is unbelievable that, I mean, now that you brought it up, that what's going on with this Wendy Davis, I don't know if you bother to read right-wing tweets, but really, just
oh, yeah, now that we don't have to listen to her because she had her chest enhanced or something.
Oh, really? Oh, I haven't heard that.
Oh, there's an entire website dedicated to that.
Yeah.
Ah, I see. Yeah, your friend Dana Loesch with some
my
lovely,
friend, yes.
Right. She tweeted more. Mm-hmm. She tweeted, more abortions for female sex than male, which makes contrived girl power theme of the Mean Girls death cult all the more laughable.
Is that English?
That was English.
It's within inches of actual English.
It was pig Latin.
Right. For, yes.
And of course, this weekend, Peggy Noonan called her a young lady.
Oh.
Wendy is 50.
Yes.
Oh, really?
I just love that Dana Loesch was referring.
Peggy is like over 60, but her soul is well over 500. So.
I love that Dana Loesch referred to anyone else as a mean girl. Let's just start with that. And secondly, she also tweeted, women will not be bullied, just murdered in utero.
Is that a small town in Missouri?
And then she also... She said, also, hashtag stand with Wendy if you support using everyone else's money for your birth control abortions. Okay.
Whatever.
Well, it's the elevated tone of the dialogue that keeps me coming back to this issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Charlie Pierce, by the way, speaking of happy marriage equality, we didn't get to talk to you last week.
Well, listen, we're very bored with it here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We've had it longer than anybody.
That is true.
You're like, whatever. What's new?
The really nice thing, though, seriously, is that my friend Mary Bonato is getting a lot of run on TV. And she, you know, she's the one who won the Goodrich decision up here, and she's just terrific.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So
right.
She's getting a bunch of TV time, and that's really cool.
Yeah. What, you know, it obviously was pretty much...
Are they gay marrying all over the sidewalk in L.A.?
Oh, everywhere. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a gay married couple.
You can't swing a dead cat without having to marry a gay person.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And don't even talk about the dead gay cats.
Right.
That would be Langston Hughes, right?
How do you think this is going to play out at the states, though? I mean, I think this is pretty much what you and most people had predicted was going to happen, right? In terms
I wish. I sort of wish it wouldn't, because it sets up 50 ugly fights instead of one big one.
Right.
But all the indications are that the anti-marriage equality people are way on the wrong side of this, and that once their generation dies out, there won't be any controversy, and that 50 years people are going to wonder what the fuss was about.
Yeah, I love this.
I mean, that's what happened here.
Today's Georgia Republican, Phil Kent, this guy, he's a Republican appointee. He said he dismissed same-sex couples seeking marriage equality as sob stories. He said it's a sad day in America because this does dynamite the foundations of our Judeo-Christian system. It's going to be a cultural war in Georgia and every other state to try to undo this wrong.
If you start one, Mr. Dent, yes, there will be.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, it just feels like the flailing of a... Of the losing side, doesn't it?
It does, but unfortunately, the losing side is very well entrenched in half the country. Unfortunately,
yeah.
But the Republicans stopped making sense a long time ago. But if they made sense, they leave this issue alone.
It just seems the ass kicking.
They would go. You know, the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee would go to these ambitious state legislatures and say, "Look, if you have any ambitions beyond your state house, please don't bring this up."
Right.
You know, we are taking this issue off the table for the party.
I have to think that the ass-kicking Rachel Maddow gave Ralph Reed and Jim DeMint on
Sunday.
Well,
why the hell
the press...
is he back from the grave, by the way?
Which just may have make them, you know what, just shut out the lights. we're done.
No, I don't mind Jim DeMint being on there, but Ralph Reed's a crook in addition to being a bigot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Ralph Reed was, you know, Jack Abramoff's cabana boy.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, what the hell is NBC doing rehabilitating that piece of slime?
Thank you,
Charlie. I mean, there are dozens of people who are perfectly willing to be bigots in public who didn't steal money from people.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we've got to have standards somewhere with our bigots.
Exactly.
I want honest bigots, damn it.
Exactly.
I want bigots who don't steal.
We've been talking about the Paula Deen thing all morning. What's your take on that?
My take on that is the electron microscope has not yet been built that can measure the tiny damn I give about this entire story. I could care less. I really could.
You're too busy sussing out things we had not that we did not know about. For instance, the House of Representatives voted to slash the EPA budget by 27%,
yeah.
One of the biggest cuts since President Nixon and the Congress created the agency in 1970. The Senate subsequently modified the severity of these cuts. The budget was ultimately cut, though, by nearly 16%. What is less known is that more than 100 House members, all Republicans, many Tea Party members, signed a little-known pledge again with this. Backed by the Koch brothers, promising not to spend any federal money to fight climate change without an equal amount of tax cuts.
Yeah, this is a report that Jane Mayer, the wonderful Jane Mayer of The New Yorker, one of the great reporters of all time, tipped us all to this yesterday, to this Investigative Journalism Foundation's report on the actual influence of the Koch brothers. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And not only that, there's another pledge.
Yeah, as you said, for the love of God, another pledge? What is with these people? I mean, since when?
I mean,
are they signing a pledge to a person or people?
They're signing a pledge to a person and to a policy which is going to burn the country and the planet.
Right, right. I mean, look at these wildfires. Look at, you know, and people would just refuse to admit that this is part of climate change, right?
Or at the very least, climate change contributes to it. If you don't,
right.
If you don't accept the phenomenon, then you don't accept the effects of the phenomenon.
Right.
And then you wind up appealing to the federal government to bail you out.
Yeah.
And then you lose 19 firemen in a swoop. I was a forest ranger for 3 summers in Massachusetts, and I was only in one forest fire.
You were a forest ranger?
I was. For the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
I learn a new fun fact about you every week, Charlie.
Forest, I have photos of me in my little uniform and stuff. But...
Oh,
no,
we need those photos, Charlie.
Oh,
no,
need that photo.
Yes, we do.
No, you don't.
Mrs. Pierce.
But in any event, I was only in one forest fire, and it was a really small one, and it was the most terrifying experience of my life.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where they are. They burn underground.
Right.
They burn in the root structure and in the topsoil, and they erupt, like, in different places.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what these guys must have been like out there. And
these
guys were the green berets of forest fires.
I know. I mean, I think they were saying, right, the unpredictable nature of it, or
yeah.
Which way it's going to blow next. But, yeah, just a really heartbreaking. Charlie, you were talking about Wendy Davis and Rick Perry in Texas. And, hey, looky over there. You write about our friend Governor John Kasich in Ohio. Left in place provisions in HB 59 that would strip funds from Planned Parenthood, bar abortion providers from entering into emergency transfer agreements with public hospitals, force women seeking abortions to undergo an ultrasound. The budget reprioritizes how federal dollars are distributed among the state's family planning centers and effectively places Planned Parenthood at the end of the list. And this is really frightening what's happening state by state.
Yeah, this happened. This was done in the state budget. I mean, this is right. Just about the sneakiest way you can do it. At least they're stealing women's constitutional rights in Texas in fairly well in the daylight.
Right.
I mean, this is something in Ohio you can't, because they got caught trying to strip union rights and it got repealed at the polls. You can't repeal this at the polls.
Right.
I mean, you can't bring the incredible proposal that gags any rape crisis center that gets state money from mentioning the option of abortion, which is also part of this thing. Is appalling. I mean, this is just awful, and you can't do anything about it because you'd have to recall the entire budget.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
I mean, and you sum it up. You say they will not stop until it is impossible for a woman to exercise her right to choose anywhere. There's no middle ground. There never has been with these people.
No, and that's true. And they're after birth control as much as they're after abortion.
Which makes no sense whatsoever, right?
No, it's because all the dirty sluts who have sex that God doesn't approve of should get loathsome diseases or babies.
Only you can say it.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
In such a romantic way. Charlie Pierce, you remain a delight, sir. Happy 4th
Thanks.
Of July.
Happy Independence to all y'all.
Yeah,
you
all
as well.
All y'all. All right,
honey. Where's Jim Ward, by the way?
He is,
his ass is sick.
Right.
His arse is sick?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, but he could still talk. I mean, he could be lying there, in bed doing imitations.
Sure.
I'm sure he can do Charlie Rangel lying down.
We wish him a speedy recovery and his ass.
We do. We wish him more speedy recovery. And I'm going to get off the phone now.
Thank
bye.
You, Charlie.
Okay, bye.
In his place, for comedic purposes, we become obsessed with the farting French bulldog.
Oh, yes. We posted that on your Facebook
yes,
page.
Yes, it's a French bulldog that farts and scares himself.
It's adorable. Totes adorable.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, 40. What'd you do? Oh, no, who's scared? 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
A child is black, a child is white.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Carrie in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling about that caller who called a while back talking about the 2 million that died on the slave ships and basically all the blood was on the South. Now, I want to state before we go into this, it was wrong of Paula Deen to use the N-word. Absolutely. And the stuff that's happening to her is probably, very deserved. But the slave ships weren't crewed and run and built by the South. It was the Northerners that did it. It was the New England sailors. The only reason there were ever black slaves in America to be bought is because they had sold as many as they could sell down in the Caribbean. And they brought them up here. I hate historical revisionism where it's just the South. The North had their hands just as deep into it as the South did. All of America bears the blame for what happened to the Africans that were brought over here to be slaves.
Well, right. I think, Carrie, I think the caller's point was about the Confederate flag, but how is that any different than the Nazi flag?
I know,
because a lot of blacks were killed one way or another.
But then he dragged in, the whole slave ship thing, which... Again, the North. And if you go back to when they were desegregating the schools, the coverage was all on what happened to the Southern schools. It was just as bad in several of the Northern schools. They had race riots up North the same way they had race riots down South.
Yep.
There's racism in the North, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I grew up with some of it. That's what we were talking about. I do not think it has resided, specifically in the South.
Right.
By the way,
what?
We've had Kerry Washington on the show a lot.
Yes, we have.
He's so great in Scandal. I did not know this. T-Bone brought my attention to this. that Paula Deen hired the character. Well, Kerry Washington's character is based on this PR crisis
originally based,
narrative.
Yes. Kerry Washington's character now has gone on to sleep with the president and do a whole lot of other stuff. So.
Right.
That part wasn't based on Judy.
Paula Deen has hired a D.C. crisis firm, Smith & Company.
Yeah.
Smith & Company CEO Judy Smith served as the inspiration for ABC's Scandal, and it's Olivia Pope character played by Kerry Washington. That seems a little clunky to me, Paula Deen to hire a black woman.
You know what, though? She is the best cleaner in the business.
Yes.
I mean, the Clintons hired her.
Right,
so,
right.
And
right.
They had a lot to clean.
Well... So we're going to talk to Dean Abadala about this at the top of the hour. He wrote a piece at CNN, but that was probably not a good move to go on the Today Show and claim she only said the N-word one time in her life at gunpoint. I'm not sure that that helped her or seemed very believable. Dean also mentions that, and I think we mentioned this earlier, former President Jimmy Carter said Paula Deen should be forgiven, arguing there's no condoning the racial slur she uttered, but she, the well-known personality, has been candid and apologetic. He said she was maybe excessively honest in saying that she had in the past 30 years used this terrible word. I think she has been punished perhaps overly severely for her honesty in admitting it and for the use of the word in the distant past. She's apologized profusely. And he mentioned something that one of the earlier callers mentions, that her programs in Savannah, Georgia, benefit almost exclusively oppressed and poverty-stricken black people. He advised her to get the people she's helping to speak up and show how she's changed in her relationship with African-Americans.
Yeah.
Let's go to...
And in fact, the person who brought the complaint against her said this complaint had nothing to do with the N-word. It had to do with how she treated her her employees.
Right. Jay Allison in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jay.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I'm glad to see you back from your vacation.
Thank you. Me too.
Give me a chance to say this. As an African-American, I'm not so offended by Paula Deen. I don't think she used the word with an intent to hurt or harm anybody of color. She's doing what 90% of the people in America, both black and white and every other ethnic group, has done in a casual manner among their own group of people, an ethnic group, and casually describing somebody by saying, oh, that in person, you know, because it's casually used in a casual manner, and I'm not okaying it.
It's bad in a formal manner, but not in a casual. But it's okay in a casual manner.
Behind closed door, I hear African American use it in a casual manner, saying the C word,
right?
And saying, "Oh, you know that C a person was, oh, you know that," and describing the color.
Do you mean cracker or a different C word?
Yeah, cracker.
Oh,
okay.
You know, using. I don't want to. You know, use.
I've been called both
words. You know. But you to see using the C word in a casual manner, and it's just as offensive to white people as if it's used in a hateful manner.
Jay, I do think it is different when used by black people to each other than by a white person.
I've heard it used in a hateful manner too by black people, but now I'm not okaying it. I'm just saying that I don't get the same hate that I get from that I see.
I don't know what you mean by what the difference between casual, saying it in a casual way. You mean if you're wearing a tux. It's bad, but if you're not, I don't understand what's saying in the casual manner.
When I say casual manner, I mean, you know, when they're with their, with people who use it every day. You know, Paula Deen is in the South. She probably live among people who are her age who used it in her day growing up in a casual way.
Yeah.
And there's some people who use it to be hateful. I don't, you know, and I'm not okay with what you do. At least she's apologizing. You won't ever see Sean Hannity apologizing.
Right. But, Jay Allison, all I'm saying is I would imagine there's a fair amount of black people who don't care what manner someone like that uses it in. It is still a deeply painful word.
I think she should apologize. Anybody
right. And she has.
Hello?
And she has. She has apologized.
Yeah, apologized. Yeah. But I don't think any, you know, I don't, you know, at least she's making an attempt, to try to change the situation and apologize for it. But you have people like Mitch McConnell and the people in Congress and the Republican Party, like Dara Issa, they're not apologizing for the hateful things. I can feel the heat of the N-word coming off of what they've done. Would you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of veiled and not-so-veiled racism against the president.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, well, Terry in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Terry.
Ah, well, good morning, sexy liberal.
Well, hello.
My quick comment on racism, I think there's a form of racism that's not even talked about, and that is the rich versus the poor, the haves versus the have-nots. It just, to me, it's a racism thing from picking on all the poor people, and they're all walks of life are poor. They're white, black, red, yellow, you got it, you know. And we're all discussing about the N-word. And rightfully so. I was born in Tennessee, moved to Chicago when I was 3 and 59, and I was called an N-lover when I was 11 years old because I had a black friend took in the corner store. I don't see color, but I do see this discrimination, racist thing with women's rights and also with all the poor people in this country right. with the legislation that's being passed. And to me, that's an even bigger problem. Yep. And using the N-word.
Yeah, I hear you. I've been called an N-word lover as well, to which I usually say thank you.
You've also been called the C-word.
More than most. Rick in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When you guys throw out the word bigot when it comes to the anti-gay connection, I mean, do you really, I mean, I'm asking this sincerely as a Christian. Do you really believe the Christians are bigots because they don't agree with same gender marriage?
I don't believe I've called people, anyone that believes that, a bigot.
Nobody on this show has.
I think that all Americans deserve.
That male guest you had was using the word bigot in that exact connotation, almost identical to the way the N-word is used. If you don't believe in gay marriage.
You really think the word bigot has the same weight as the N-word? Seriously?
I just said that's how I feel.
Yes. Okay.
Wow.
You demean me,
have the freedom to you know, practice any religion you want. What, do you think I'm a bigot because I believe all Americans, including gay people, should have the same rights? It's not a religious thing.
No, I don't.
All right.
That didn't end well.
I cannot play in his reindeer games. No. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, Dean Abadala next on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I'm pretty sure, unless I am bumped for breaking news, I will be on Aaron Burnett tonight on CNN.
On Aaron Burnett?
All right. I know you're filling in for Jim.
Yeah,
okay.
That didn't work.
I'm frequently on with my buddy, my pal, CNN commentator and comedian Dean Abadala. He joins us now. Hey, Dean.
Hey, how are you? How was your vacation?
It was fabulous. And I know.
All right.
I missed you madly, of course.
Ah, thanks. Well, we might be on tonight. You never know.
You never know. Almost everything is more important than us, but you never know.
Now, it is tornadoes, terrorists, all these things, ridiculous. Yeah. Plane crashes. This is bull. We should be on. But
you wrote a great piece that we've been talking about all morning, Can We Forgive Paula Deen? And you have an interesting take on it. As you say, you know, you are an Arab, and you've been called the word sand N-word more than once.
many times in emails, yes.
Yes.
Many times. And even on Twitter, people have called me that, which is, you know, in a hateful way, not in a playful way.
Yeah. And I love the part, you go and told go back to where you're from, which, as you noted, is New Jersey.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a rough place. To some people, it's a different country, but, you know, it is what it is. And ignorance and bigotry go hand in hand usually, so people don't really.
You know, but you
raise, so much better.
You raise an interesting point. You say, once a racist, always a racist. Will bigots always be bigots? Or can people truly evolve over time for the better? And if they do, should we applaud their metamorphosis and welcome them back? The easy answer, as we're seeing with Paula Deen, is to quickly label the person a racist for past insensitive remarks and cast them to the fringes of society. But you say it's not the best answer for our nation. Why?
Because I think that our history has shown that people can evolve for the better and that mainstream opinion on issues, in fact, does evolve for the better. And in the article, I cite a couple of examples, one being on marriage equality. I mean, just 10 years ago, only about 30% of Americans supported it. Now, flash forward 10 years later, and over 50%. And if the people in the marriage equality movement had just dismissed everyone who was against it or had said insensitive remarks about gay people 10 years ago as being bigots, we never would have gotten to this point. And
yeah, but let me take a little issue with you on that, Dean, because I think
sure.
I get your point. However, I think there's a difference between, you know, virulently, you know, slurs like the N-word. In terms of Paula Deen. And look, I'm a gay person, and I didn't think gay marriage was ever going to be possible. It never occurred to me 10 years ago. So, you know, I don't think that everybody was a bigot that didn't think, you know, gay marriage was going to happen. I'm just saying, I don't know if it's the same analogy.
Well, I think my point is really a broader point about not Paula Deen per se. I mean, if people want to forgive her or not, that's their choice, and I certainly don't argue to forgive her now. It's more, you know, let's see if she's really evolved. It takes more than a few tears on a morning show and a disjointed apology and horrible YouTube videos to convince people. In her defense, I will say that it's curious to me, and I'm a former lawyer, that no one else has come forward with all this press going on to say, you know what, she is still a bigot. She's saying all these racist stuff recently, and it, beyond the plane of in a lawsuit, is trying to get money. So, I mean, to me, it seems perhaps she's evolving, perhaps she's not. I'm not saying she's – I don't really know the answer. I'm just telling you from what I see in the media and the media reports that everyone else sees as well. But I think in time she can evolve, and the idea of just – you know, I quote Jesse Jackson, who talked about the story about we shouldn't destroy her, we should redeem her. And I believe in that overall for people, and it's not kind of – overall, like, forgiveness for it's the good of forgiving. Like, if someone would call me a sand N-word, and I put in the article, like, a year later or in the future, said, look, I'm sorry, it was wrong, I would be happy. I would say, no, too bad. You're a bigot. You call me the sand N-word. You're gone forever. Because it's not good, first, for me, I would accept it. Second, not good for society. We should encourage people to evolve for the better. It's in society, in our nation's interest to do that. If they're sincere and they show it more than just a handful of words. I mean, you've got to earn it. I'm not saying just like, okay, I'm sorry you got caught. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah, you raise a good point when you say they're evolving for the better, and this in turn makes us a better nation. I think that's true. I mean, the one thing I thought was interesting in light of all these, you know, Supreme Court decisions we had last week is you said we also witness America evolve for the better regarding interracial marriage. In 1967, when the U.S. Supreme Court struck down laws that barred interracial marriage in the famous Loving versus Virginia, 73% of Americans actually supported such laws, and I wasn't aware of that number.
It's remarkable. And the Supreme Court was so ahead of its time. That's when people were saying now, well, you know, the Supreme Court might note America's not ready for marriage equality. Well, if you compare 1967 Loving versus Virginia to now, we have a majority who approve it. Then 73% of Americans, and that wasn't a red state, blue state. That was a mainstream American view, thought blacks and whites should be prohibited by law from getting married. They just thought it was wrong. And it took 25 years later, almost 30 years later, to finally a majority of Americans said, yes, I'm fine with black and white people getting married. That was a long time of evolving for us.
I had a good friend of mine was a black woman married to a white woman. This was just, you know, a few years ago, Dean. She would tell me she would be in the supermarket with her kids, and people would say, what are they? I mean, you know.
A black woman married to a white man.
Right.
You said a white woman.
I'm sorry. To a white man. And
they were
anyway.
Way ahead. They were gay marriage and interracial.
Yeah, right.
And
but she would, you know.
Everything in the one.
Yeah. And, you know, and she would literally, of course, be offended and say they're children. You know, like,
right.
I mean.
It's still to this day when there's a TV series where you have an interracial couple. I remember just a few years ago or something where it was still like, wow, look how progressive they are, when it really shouldn't be that big of a deal. But I think it still is, because most people, I think most couples we see are the same race, whatever they might be, black and black, white and white, Latino, Latino. And I think black and white is the starkest contrast. I come from a biracial family. My father's Arab, born in what was then Palestine, and he moved here in the 50s. But because Palestinians tend to be lighter skinned, people didn't see this big contrast. I mean, he looked slightly darker than my mother, who's Italian-American, but there wasn't that issue. But I had cousins and uncles who were dark, who people think are Latino. They think they're Dominican or, you know, Puerto Rican, that kind of shade, not African-American shade. But so I grew up with a multiracial household on family occasions and things, but no one ever asked us, what were we? Because we looked white. My dad looked kind of white, but he was not white. You know, it's Arab man, Muslim is not white.
And it's interesting regarding, you know, Paula Deen, you cite Jimmy Carter, who agrees with you, who says, you know, noted that Deen's programs in Savannah, Georgia benefit almost exclusively oppressed and poverty-stricken black people. So, you know, that could be the words and deeds argument, I suppose, right?
But, you know, when I said before that it's surprising to me no one's come forward to say that she's been horrible now, it's also surprising no one from the African-American community has come forward and said she's been great. And I guess she hasn't done that much. I mean, Jimmy Carter said that, which is a nice statement. But people have just let her hang, and you know, out there, like, there's not been either people coming forward and saying, yeah, she's still a racist, or others going, you know, I know her, she's really a good person. I've never seen a reaction this quick by all these corporations. And her recipes should always cause problems. I mean, her food has killed more Americans than Al-Qaeda. I mean, it's unbelievable.
She's a food terrorist.
But, you know, she's a food terrorist, like a food jihad. So that should be the issue before all of this. But it's... I mean, have you ever seen someone lose this many? Like, is there more? I keep wondering, is there more we don't know about than someone? People are coming forward, but they're coming forward privately and saying, we're going to go public. And they told, you know, Target and Sears and Walmart and everyone, hey, there's a lot more people out there. You just don't know it yet.
Well,
they're like, we're out of here.
You
Maybe
also,
that's
well,
true.
And you also said, Dean's assertion on the Today Show earlier this week, she only used the N-word one time in her life is so ridiculous. I believe it made her situation even worse, especially since at a recent deposition she appeared to admit having used it more times in the past.
People don't use it at one time. That's not like a trial thing. Like, hey, you can use it one time. That's a mentality. When you're going to use that despicable, hateful word about black people, it could be one time ever in anger, but I don't think so. And in her deposition, if you read what was in the pleadings that I saw online, she said, of course I used it. And they said, for example, when? And she didn't say, like, this is the only time in my life. Then to go on Today's Show. I think part of this is a horrible PR campaign. If she would have addressed it straightforward and was really contrite and said, I said this years ago, I've learned, it's wrong. Her sons were pretty good. They came on TV and said, we didn't grow up in a household hearing this word, and I believed those sons. I could be wrong, but I tend to believe them. She could have headed this off, but the way she handled it, and then I is what I is, I was like, oh, what is that saying? Then you're not going to change? I mean, what does that statement mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you're right. I know we were on CNN that day when she just kept releasing the videos. You're like, oh, God, this is just getting weird now. Like, you know,
it was like
one more overwrought video after the next. Yeah. Right, you don't know if she's crying for herself anymore or for, you know, with actual, you know, I guess atonement, right?
It's true, but have people raised the Alec Baldwin issue? Because people have raised that to me over and over.
Yep.
And I kept saying the difference, first of all, what he said was wrong, and he was angry, he was defending his wife, and it was wrong. But the difference is I saw one leader from the LGBT community come out and say, look, it was wrong, but he's worked with our community for years. He's been great with us.
Right.
And so they're not saying we're giving you a pass, but there is that credibility that, look, this was an angry thing, I said it. If he says it again...
Well, he shouldn't have brought the guy's sexuality into it.
No,
he obviously,
that's irrelevant, completely irrelevant.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Right, but you're absolutely right, is that you know, there is a whole life history of stuff, and I think, like you say, the deposition points to more stuff, and I think it's more the treatment even of the brother, right, of employees?
Oh, my God, it seemed like if the allegation is true, and people keep telling me, and I used to be a lawyer, and they go, oh, did you see the complaint and stuff? I'm like, that's a complaint. You can allege just about anything, frankly. It's until you go to a courtroom. I mean, certain lawyers are not going to... They're going to have to sign a pleading, and they could be sanctioned if it was completely frivolous. But if your client is saying this is what they said, and you believe your client, then you can put it in the pleadings and the complaint, and it's good faith, and you're fine. People can allege anything. It happens every day. And lawsuits are dismissed every day, and juries find against plaintiffs every single day. I used to be a defense attorney, so maybe I'm slightly biased, but I don't mean because a plaintiff alleges something, it's true. It
right. And reputations can be ruined because of that.
Dean, what is that? Right? Yeah. Speaking as a lawyer, I think we've all asked the question: why didn't she settle? She did not. She was not aware of all this becoming public. Would be.
I think when you read, I read something that the plaintiff had demanded, and I'm not sure if this is true, but I did read it. Reportedly, over $1 million to settle it, and she must have viewed it as just like some sort of blackmail or whatever word she used for that instead of blackmail. But
she tried to avoid the word black, probably. Right.
Well, maybe use a different word, endmail or something. Like, I don't know what she would use, but in any event, they would not settle. And she said on the Today Show, the first time I heard her comment on that, this evil woman wanted to take what I had and was jealous of me. And that's how she probably viewed it. And if you don't think you really did anything wrong, you don't want to pay to settle. I mean, anyone will settle for legal costs. So if you said, the lawyer goes, hey, this is going to cost you $15,000 or $20,000 just to litigate half of this, we can end it for $20,000. Paul Dean probably said, yeah. The woman said $1 million, and that probably makes sense. She wanted that much money. And that's likely why it didn't settle, because it's in the best interest of of someone, a public figure like this, to get rid of a case like this if it's a small fee.
Do you, as a lawyer, Dean, do you give her points for being honest? Someone was making that point. They said if, you know, there's only two people there, you know, certainly, I mean, it would have been perjury, but how could they have proved it if she had just denied it?
I think she knows she said the N word in front of other people, and that if she would have said, I never said it ever, she knows someone would have come forward and it could have been perjury. I mean, this wasn't a criminal case. This was a civil lawsuit for sexual and racial discrimination. And her lawyer could have objected and made it more specific and said,
right,
look, you're alleging for 5 years, the plaintiff, Lisa, I think it's Lisa Alexander, for 5 years worked there. In that 5 years, have you said the N-word? Have you said any racial stuff?
Right.
In discovery, and that's what that process is when they take depositions, the relevancy standard is much broader. So, but if I was a lawyer, I would have said, no, you don't answer that. You can answer within the 5 years. And she would have been then really focused on the issue, which is,
right,
have you said it in the 5 years you've been working there?
You could, as a lawyer, yeah, you could break into a cold sweat hearing the prosecution calls our first witness, Paul's pen pal, Mark Furman. No!
That's your favorite. Her favorite client. That's a regular at that restaurant.
Yes.
All right. Dean, see you on the TV, honey. Great
hopefully
stuff.
I'll see you tonight. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Me on.
There
yes,
he goes. Dean Abadala.
DeanofComedy.com is his
there
website.
There you go. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show this hour, brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Robbie in Alabama. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robbie.
How you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead. Oh, hi. Who's that?
Dog's going crazy outside, so don't worry about him.
Okay, Robbie, what's up today?
I was just going to talk about the gay marriage thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm against it.
You're against it.
I am.
You have released the hounds. You are so incensed about it.
Why are you against it, Robbie?
Why?
Yes.
Because I'm a Christian.
Uh-huh.
Many Christians are for it.
Well, all they got to do is read Romans chapter 1, and that explains it right there.
Okay. There's also a lot of Bible verses that say all kinds of stuff, like,
yeah,
we should kill people that eat shrimp or kids that swear at their parents.
Well, I take the, I'm, you know, I'm from Alabama, so I'm from the Deep South, and I'm 50 years old, and, you know, so you can tell by my accent probably that I'm not a Yankee,
mm-hmm,
by no means.
What does that have to do with your views on gay marriage?
Well,
how many dogs you got, Robbie? Right? Let's talk about something we can bond about. How many dogs do you have?
Two.
Two.
Somebody's barking and somebody's knocking at the door, and they'll just come back. So.
Oh, okay. What kind of dogs?
Got a Basset Hound and a Boston Terrier.
Awesome.
Do they fart and scare themselves?
Stop it. All right.
Oh, any time anybody moves, they go to barking. So, you know, it's,
yeah,
just, they're good guard dogs.
Okay. All right. Awesome. They keep the gays away. All right. Okay. I'm sleepy. Okay. You know, because I believe children are the future.
I believe the children are the future.
Robbie's lost to us. Brian and Nancy in Alpine, California write, Steph, Brian and I are the parents of Brennan. Remember Brennan, the dump truck boy.
Can you say George Bush is a dump truck?
The Bush is a dump truck.
Thank you, Brennan.
That kid must be 30 now.
Yeah, well, this is what they're writing to say.
Oh.
The official liberal college professor, bad parents of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's you.
Yep.
Last Wednesday, June 26th, was Brennan's 15th birthday. Brennan's 50. We are old. Before I left for work, I woke Brennan to share the news about the two Supreme Court rulings. He smiled and said, that's what I wanted for my birthday.
Oh.
You see, Fuller's not the only teenager who's been raised by the village that is the Stephanie Miller Show. Thanks for being a great influence on Brennan, Brian and Nancy. You're welcome. They're also just as immature as I am.
Yes.
They made Brennan say a bad word about George Bush. All right. President Obama said a good word about George Bush. He did do one good thing.
Yeah.
This is just another opportunity for me to reiterate what I said in South Africa yesterday when we were at an HIV/AIDS clinic that has saved lives because of the U.S. PEPFAR program that President Bush started. I think this is one of his crowning achievements because of the commitment of the Bush administration and the American people. Millions of people's lives have been saved.
And what's the other good thing I always say about George Bush? Very, very good for the effigy
business.
Right, right. A lot of people got to make effigies that have to get burned. What are all those families doing now?
It's capitalism.
Right. Exactly. All right. Oh, by the way, I had mentioned this piece earlier, just important in the NSA Snowden thing. Why Bush violated the Fourth Amendment and Obama has not. The reasonable expectation of privacy has evolved since the court coined the phrase in 1967, and Obama's actions have respected that expectation, writes Jeffrey Stone in the Daily Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Just an interesting, you know, which is what we've been saying. He just writes, there's a crucial difference between the Obama administration's phone call data mining program, which is constitutional under current law. We can, again, debate whether it's right or not, or goes too far, but anyway, and the Bush administration's NSA surveillance program, which was clearly unconstitutional, unlike the Obama program, which is limited to obtaining information about phone calls made and received from telephone companies. The Bush program authorized the government to wiretap private phone conversations. From a constitutional perspective, the difference is critical. Anyway, and he just goes on to conclude, his administration's program does not violate the constitutional right of privacy. Again, we still can and are having the discussion mm-hmm. about whether it overreaches and, you know, how we fix that or not. But anyway, just interesting.
Yes.
Okay. 29 minutes. I'm sure he didn't bring it up with Bush.
Would have been indelicate.
Rude, just rude.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You smell like the spit bucket at a vineyard. You haven't showered, you've got crumbs on your shirt. It's like I'm dating
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to TJ in Atlanta. Hey, TJ.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Good. It's a public service announcement. I'd like to once and for all explain the use of the N-word. And I want everybody in the sound of my voice to spread it because I'm tired of non-blacks being confused about its use, and I'm upset with black people for not being able to explain its use.
Right.
And real quick, if you got two army buddies, they bump into each other at a bar. One says, Joe Johnson, you old SOB, get over here, give them a hug. No big deal. Okay, it's no big deal. But guess what? No one else in that bar can call Joe Johnson an SOB without a bar fight breaking out.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
It's simply an outward expression of closeness and camaraderie between people of the same group.
Right.
I mean, to use an otherwise offensive term or slander, you know, amongst themselves exclusively. And
right.
That's all it is. It's been done forever when buddies hang out. You know, hey, you clown, hey, you know, they're
know.
Knocking each other.
No, TJ, it makes me insane when I have to talk to yet another white person saying, they call each other that, though it's okay. It's like,
no, it's not.
It's not.
That's a simple explanation.
Yeah.
And then, but a lot of times, we black people can't explain, you know, we're so incensed, we don't articulate, you know, its use amongst ourselves properly, and that way it's a confusion. But no. It's used all the time when, you know, girlfriends hang out. They're calling each other the B word and things that they would never get away with calling a stranger or someone else that's not in their peer
yeah.
group.
Oh, that's right. No, my friends and I regularly call each other whores. It's a term of protection.
No.
Well, hey, there you go.
Let me ask you a question. What if it's a white person just singing along with a hip-hop song?
Oh, you'll get crushed.
You think so?
Yeah, exactly. Paula Deen need not apply.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
If you're not a member of the group, you can't get
yeah.
you know, a pass on its usage. It's, you know, If he didn't go to battle with Joe Johnson, mm-hmm. he can't walk into the bar and call Joe Johnson an SOB. He'll
yep.
get crushed.
Yep, exactly. One of my best friends, Eileen, every phone message I leave her is, whore! And then I just hang up, and she knows it's me. She calls me right back.
Okay.
Okay. Sue in Montana.
Alrighty.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Yummy Chris.
Hello.
You got, everybody's driving me friggin' crazy today with focusing on Paula Deen using the N-word. And, you know, I could care less. 30 years ago, she dropped that word. What I have a big problem with, and it goes to her mindset, is this whole plantation-style wedding crap. And in this deposition, she talks about, because this is part of the lawsuit, but she used the N-word when describing this. But
right.
she said what she said was, that she has discussed her desire to have a very Southern-style wedding for her brother, modeled after a restaurant where the whole entire waitstaff was middle-aged black men clad in white jackets and black bow ties. And that's according to the transcript.
That's
the problem, guys, is her mindset. To think that that's some glorious part of our history.
Right.
That's where I have a problem
with. Well, and her saying, oh, but the media would probably be all over me if I...
She did.
But you know what?
A bunch of tap-dancing little N-words.
That, yes.
Really? You think so?
That's what the complainer accused her of.
Right.
She didn't, you know, actually admit to that. So it's an accusation against another.
I'm reading the deposition. She said, she referred to it as the entire waitstaff, middle-aged black men. She says she didn't use the N-word, where in the complaint, it says, what I would really like is a bunch of little N-blood.
Right. And so it's one word against another's word.
Right. Right. But the fact that she admitted saying that she thought it would be just dandy to have a plantation-style wedding with middle-aged black men clad in white jackets and black, that she thinks that's some romantic notion of the South, and she thinks that's
right. Yeah, you don't even have to get to the words. I get your point. It's already bad enough. Let's go to LaTanya in Mississippi. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, LaTanya.
Hey.
Hey.
My point is similar to hers. It's not just about her saying the N-word. I'm reading an article here where she wanted, where the black staff members had to use a separate entrance to enter and leave the restaurant. They had to use a separate bathroom. They
oh my God!
Work the front of the restaurant.
We stumbled in the middle of the help.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not even about the N-word. It's about how she treated her black employees different from how she treated her other employees. And the person that brought the suit isn't even a black person. She was a manager who was upset with the way that her employees were being treated.
Yep. Yep. And speaking of the help, her sponsors made her kind of a pie, did they?
Right.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. All right. That'll give you diabetes.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, it will.
Rick in Michigan.
Other diseases, too.
Yikes. Hello, Rick.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I was just noticing that a lot of people don't remember that the Democrat Party has been around since the beginning. Uh-oh. And the Democrat Party, of course, was the one that had the slavery going. They wanted
you know,
to
it's
keep
Democrats.
The going
it's not Democrats.
That's the Democratic Party.
They right. wanted to keep the tax going because it brought in revenue. And, of course, the Republican Party came in and freed the slaves. And they also gave them the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment.
That's so
the right
weird. Because
to, given the equal
why
rights,
do you think,
equal justice,
why do you think black people voted for,
and then
vote for Democrats by like 90-something percent?
Segregated.
All right. The white. All right. He's not. All right. Oops. Look what happened. Okay.
Yeah. You know things flipped when, you know, the
I think he was going to get to the point that black people must be really dumb
And things flipped once they got
90-something percent.
Once they did the Southern strategy. That's when things flipped.
Right. Right. I'm sure he probably knows that.
Yeah.
Hey, looky, it's Billy in Texas.
Oh,
hi, Billy
Lord.
In Texas.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, guys. How completely gutless of y'all to hang up on that guy. He's making a point that you can't dispute. And you just hang up on it.
So why, then I will let you answer the question. Why did 90-something percent of African Americans vote for the Democratic Party, do you think?
Because they're easily manipulated.
I see. Well, that's what exactly.
Oh.
They're dumb. They're dumb and easily manipulated.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
Oh, look what happened. God, there's something wrong with the lines today. Okay. Let's go to... Oh,
that
look,
was horrifying.
I'm doubly a coward, apparently. Patricia in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to call to follow up with the caller a while ago about the N-word, of course. We've all been talking about it and how using it casually versus, you know, in an insidious way makes it different. I personally hate the word. I was brought up that that word is unacceptable, whether it's spoken by a black person, white person, whatever. And I just think the problem is, with rappers and whoever else that uses these words, they trivialize the meaning of the word, and then it becomes acceptable, and then we have all these exceptions to the rule. Well, if you're black, then, well, if you're this. No, it's a bad word, period, point blank. I don't think anyone should use it. We're the only race that takes a derogatory term against our own race and then somehow try to find a way to make money off of it or make it cool. Asians don't do it. The Jewish people don't do it. I just think it's not okay. And if we could all just accept the fact that it's not okay, black people don't say it, white people don't say it, we can all agree, and then there won't be any of these special exceptions that if you're black or, you know, it's okay when. So that's my whole point.
I can personally attest that Asians do make fun of each other's driving.
Well, yeah.
You know,
I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, black folks that we joke about. But, you know, when it comes to racial slurs, I honestly don't ever see an Asian saying, hey, what's up, C-word, or whatever. And
Right. And Patricia, I mean, you look, I have a lot of Jewish friends that, you know, joke and call me a shiksa or a goy or something. You just, it's not the same as the N-word. It just isn't.
And it's not publicized the way, you know, in rap. And my biggest issue is how it's used in rap music. And then, like you asked the caller before, you know, what if a white kid's singing along to a rap song? Is it okay? And, oh, no, it's not okay. Well, the guy making the rap song is making it to make money. You know, he's not only selling it to black listeners. So if you don't want the word to be used, then don't use it. There should be no exception. That's just my point of view. My kids are not allowed to say it. They know it. And that's just my personal viewpoint. I think if we could all agree that it's a bad word, we won't even have this discussion.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, Patricia, I would hope that teachers wouldn't allow black or white kids to use that word, say,
definitely,
in school or in, all right, honey. Thank you. Appreciate it. By the way, we've not touched on gun stuff in a bit, but it's just another day, another Kentucky 4-year-old fatally shoots 6-year-old sister in the face. Siblings were at their grandparents' home, their grandfather cleaning a 38 caliber handgun. The grandfather told reporters he thought the gun was unloaded. He stepped away for a moment. Grandfather said he believed the 4-year-old boy picked up the pistol, shot his sister in the mouth, causing a bullet to lodge in her spine. Another one, no school insurance for teachers with guns, since everybody, you know, every time we get into this debate, the answer for them is always more guns in every situation. Nobody thought of this, maybe. Insurance companies aren't interested in covering the potential liabilities resulting from a new law. Allowing teachers and other employees to carry guns under a new state law would cost most school districts their insurance. It's stuff like that, just on a lot of these issues. People just, this is, you know, responsible gun owners that are having these debates, and it's just, all right. 44 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
As it turns out, the revolution will not be televised. It's on the radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. This is how I know I'm really bad at pronunciation.
What?
Because everyone was talking last night about Jennifer Lopez performing at a lavish birthday party for a brutal dictator.
Yes, in Turkmenistan.
Right. One of the stands. I did not do the story because his name is Gribalanguly Birdigalagabunmakanup.
That's not how you pronounce it.
Okay. Anyone else want to try this? Gurbanguly. That's his first name.
Gribalanguly.
Last name, Berdymukhamedov. Really?
Thanks, J-Lo.
He's one of the world's most repressive countries. He is the leader. She was performing at his birthday.
Thanks,
party.
J-Lo. You couldn't say happy birthday to David Cameron?
Easier to say.
Yeah.
Not a human rights abuser.
Just saying.
Thanks, Jenny, from the block. Okay. Let's go to Jessica in Cincinnati on Paula Deen. Hello, Jess.
Hey, Stephanie. So
Hello.
Good to see you guys. Usually I'm working during the week, but I'm on my off day, and I'm watching you guys on the current. You look great. I have to echo or co-sign, actually, what Patricia says, an African-American woman. I don't use the word. I don't understand why folks who are black insist on confusing their white friends with whether who can say it or not. And this whole thing about, oh, well, we make exceptions. No, we don't. Yes, you did. You made exceptions.
Right.
Gwyneth Paltrow said it last year, talked about ninjas in Paris. You see, I used ninja instead of the word.
I see what you did there. Yeah, I heard a black caller yesterday on a radio show say it's okay when it's kids at the mall. I'm like, oh, really?
No.
The mall's okay? Right.
Anybody.
Yeah.
I've called out, you know, Hispanic kids that I've overheard in the store, and I basically rolled up on them. I didn't embarrass them. I basically just said, you know, that's not a term of endearment. It's a slur. I don't care what your friends have said. I don't care what Lil Wayne is telling you. I don't care what T.I. is telling you. 2 Chainz, 3 Chainz, whatever. It's a slur. I don't care how to spell it. I don't care how to use it. You can E-R it, A-H it, A, whatever.
Yep.
It's a slur.
Yep.
You don't hear Jewish folks using the K word. You don't hear any other ethnicity using words that demean each other. There's a whole page on Wikipedia on racial slurs. Look it up. Read it.
Yep.
Learn it.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Thank you. Harumph.
Harumph.
Wow, Martha Stewart, 71.
Yeah.
On the dating scene. Admits to a one-night stand sexting and maybe a threesome.
Maybe? She's not sure?
A little slippery on that point.
Huh.
I think she might remember. She has a lot of attention to detail if you ever watch her make a wreath.
Yeah.
She does not recall that. What she does recall is she's never had a lesbian experience. Whatever. Tight ass. Because that'd be icky. Threesome? Maybe.
Are you trying to turn Martha Stewart?
Why not? Okay. Julianne Moore says her role as the mother in the remake of Carrie.
Oh, that's going to be
terrifying.
Good.
It was scary the last time. Remember at the end, the scene where the grave, her hand comes up out of the... No!
Yeah.
She plays the role of the telekinetic teenager's God-fearing mother in the remake of the classic horror film and says her take on the character just as scary as Piper Laurie's incarnation in the 1976 version, which was terrifying.
That was terrifying.
Uh-huh. Although I do confuse her with Sybil's mom.
Yeah.
Sybil's mom was go in your closet and pray, right?
Yes.
Carrie's mom was...
Dirty pillows.
Right. What?
She called her breasts dirty pillows.
Oh, right.
Yes, and Sissy Spacek. They're breasts, Mama. They're breasts.
Thanks.
Every woman has them.
Wow.
I love that movie.
That was frightening that you knew that line.
Well,
and that you did it that well.
Thank you.
I can only think of Plug It Up. The shower scene. With the tampons. That's...
With Edie McClurg.
Right? Edie McClurg's in that, naked!
She's the one who first shouted, Plug It Up! And
awesome.
Brian De Palma loved it so much that everybody shouted it.
Oh, my God. Remember the SNL sketch? She's like, oh, it's day after graduation. A lot of kids aren't around anymore. Funny, see, because she killed them all.
Yeah.
And that's why that's fun.
I didn't watch it in the 70s. I didn't watch Saturday Night Live in the 70s.
No?
I was too young.
Shut up.
What?
Okay, let's go to... Neil in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Neil.
Hey, thank you so much. I love y'all.
Thank you.
And just, you know, one thing I wanted to address is that a lot of Southern callers have not really been helping the case very much. You mentioned the Southern strategy. I'm so glad you did that, Chris. Just telling these people that, yeah, the Republican Party used to be the liberal party, you know. And Paula Deen... does not represent...
In the words of the immortal Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? Right?
You know, it's like, I know plenty of ladies that are the same age as Paula that didn't grow up with a silver spoon in their mouth, that didn't grow up, you know, having people take care of the house for them. You know, I've always grown up with people that, you know, we just all lived together and it was never an issue. She grew up in a bubble, you know?
Yeah.
And she is... disgusting to me. Her food is disgusting. It doesn't even represent the South. And you know, I'm just glad she's out because every time I'd see her on TV, I'd be like, great, this is who's representing my geographical location. We have so many beautiful people here,
right?
So many ethnicities and backgrounds, and it's upsetting to see this. I'm just glad that she's out of the picture. And another thing with the N word. It's not a word I've ever used. I've heard it used, but I would kind of liken. I go back to there's a rap group called A Tribe Called Quest. They mm-hmm. broke up since, but they spoke about this, and you know, there's a context for it that I'm never going to be a part of. But I've heard of people taking words, and actually, some of my friends that are gay have done the same thing, that have taken words and owned them.
Yeah, they're trying to appropriate the word to take the pain out of it. But, yeah. Again, it's just, you know, different standard when you're not of that group, as somebody said earlier. Don in Rockford, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Stephanie?
Go ahead.
Hey, well, I got a couple of right-wing Republican women here at work, and they were talking about the Paula Deen thing. And the first thing come out of their mouth was, you know, people are just way too thin-skinned. I mean, it's only a word. And I'm thinking.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
I'm thinking, and which women would not be offended by the B word, the C word, or the S word?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, any man knows the C word is nuclear winter.
It's only a word.
Isn't it, Chris?
It's only a word, Steph.
It's only because I'm so bad to work with that you still have a job. Rick in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Rick.
Hi. Yes, I was the word from I hear the N word
right.
was defined as ignorant person, and that I guess when they called a
by
person
whom?
An N word, it was always used as somebody as ignorant. And I guess it got derived into persons of slavery who they were considered as ignorant, and they were called the N-word. I keep wanting to
right.
almost say that word.
You
but
want
the
to,
one
but
thing is for
right.
sure is that that the Republicans, of course, when in 1964, when LBJ signed it, there was very little Democrat support and 100% Republican support.
Right. Yes, that was a long time ago. All right. Thanks for all that. I appreciate all the history lessons this morning. Yes, I understand a billion years ago, roughly, the Republican Party was not racist, however. Okay. Fred in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, hi. Whenever I hear one of those Republicans talk about, one of those conservatives talk about Republican and Democrat, they don't understand the problem with the South, not the Democrats. When the Democrats supported their crazy ideas, the South was all Democratic.
Right.
Not that the Republicans support their crazy ideas, they're all Republicans. If Lincoln was alive today, he'd probably be a Democrat,
yeah.
not a Republican. You know.
Yeah. Of course. No, they always use that. Oh, well, I guess I'll take no further questions then. Harumph. Yeah, I love that. The, what do you call it? The, oh, Lincoln was a Republican. Yes, I know.
Yes.
Okay, yes, I got it.
Yes, but things changed
yes.
once the Republicans instituted
Remember
the Southern
strategy. Republicans, they issued that calendar? Of Republican civil rights achievements,
yeah.
and I think they ran out of, like in March, they ran out of stuff. They just had to discontinue the calendar. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, T-Bone on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.